Blog Talk Radio.
No lie, game of pitfall, sling over the fallicators. Living the obstacles, it's mission impossible. Third in the series, absorb the words if you hear me. Might be
up,
repetitive,
y'all?
Might need a sedative.
First match with the Clown Hour. Late in this, well not too late, but Thursday night on a college football doubleheader, no less. At any rate, if you want to find my sports blog, you can find me at the Clown Times, that's Clown Sweat with a K. Just type in your URL status bar, www.theclowntimes.net. And you could also find me on Facebook. Just do a search for The Clown Times. Just, again, that's Clown Spill of K. You should be able to find me. Well, I'm sure that you all are keeping up with or being bombarded with, depending on your point of view, with the whole mess that's going on in Miami right now with the Dolphins. The whole thing surrounding Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin, whether dude has been hazing him or bullying him, and pretty much a lot of stories have spun off of this, so many things, such as, the coaches allegedly telling Incognito to toughen Martin up, people in the locker rooms rallying, supporting Incognito, including several black players, despite the fact that Incognito used the N-word in a voicemail to Martin, allegedly. Well, actually, not allegedly. He actually did. I heard the message. But at any rate, we're going to break all this down with my man from the yard. You all know him. His name is Dwayne Nash. He doesn't need any introduction by now. So without further ado, Dwayne, what's up, my brother? Welcome.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? I was going to say, before we get into everything, you talking about a college doubleheader. You're forgetting the skins are on right now, man. But that's another thing. Great music choice.
I'm just watching. I'm watching Oklahoma right now. I'm watching Oklahoma and Baylor because, I'm too cheap to get the NFL Network. But I think we're trying to keep up with NFL games. On ESPN.com anyway, but dude, Oklahoma, Baylor, later on Oregon and Stanford. You can't get much better now on a Thursday night. You just can't.
You really can't, and I'm actually shocked that they do have that Oregon-Stanford game on Thursday. But why not?
Why not? Exactly. Why the hell not, right? I mean, they're about to do some things with ESPN and Fox Sports 1 for those of you who care about Baylor and Oklahoma, which is underrated, in my opinion, but which is actually a good thing as a diversion point, because the main football story up to now this week has been this whole bullshit going on in Miami, man. I mean, it's like I said in the opening, man, so many stories. Other stories have spun off of this and taken off on a life of his own, from the coaches allegedly telling Incognito to toughen up Martin, the black player supporting Incognito more so than Martin. So let's just start from the top. Is this basically typical NFL hazing, and we should just get off of Incognito's back, stop being so sensitive, or is it just straight up bullying?
You know what? I'm going to also start from the beginning, because when I first heard the story, my first thought process was, this is a guy in Jonathan Martin who technically bullies people for a living. I mean, he basically just pushes people around for, that's what he gets paid to do. So to hear about a guy of his stature who does this for a living being bullied kind of perplexed me. And to say whether or not it's just regular hazing or bullying, I really don't know. I mean, technically, a bullying could be considered to be in the eyes of the beholder there. It, depending on how he took it or what was being said or how it's being played out, you know, it can be seen as hazing, it can be seen as bullying. It just depends upon Martin's threshold. And of course, by what we're hearing from the accounts of teammates in terms of not only the likability of Martin by other players, but by the likability of Incognito by other players, but the likability of Incognito by Martin himself. So it's just kind of odd that you hear the things that you hear from Martin, and then you hear the things being said by the players, and then, of course, the tape leaks, and you hear about the allegations of the money for the Vegas trip and everything. It's crazy.
This is what I think. I mean, trying to put two together myself, because when I first heard the story, before I took off on Last of the Zone, I thought that dude, Martin, that is, I thought Martin was just being straight up bullied. I just thought that, I found it hard to believe that the players didn't know at first when people claimed deniability, plausible deniability, I should say. And coaches at first denied what was going on. Everyone in the organization denied they knew what was going on. And at first I was thinking, dude, come on now. I mean, the thing is that Incognito is one of your team leaders, okay?
Yeah.
And he's sending this dude harassing voicemail, whoever, and whatever the hell else he was up to. And the fact that Martin was not, it appears that, I mean, according to his agent, that he was not the most liked cat in the room. Incognito was the more liked person by far. And, I start to believe, is this like hazing going wrong maybe? Especially after the coaches told Incognito to toughen Martin up because Martin missed a voluntary workout this past spring. And maybe got a hand, and the fact that allegedly Martin actually laughed at the voicemail in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, Brian Hartline, owned by one of the players, spoke out in Incognito's defense and mentioned that, among other things. So I'm thinking, is Martin really that hated in the locker room to the point where all these people, including other black players, especially the black players on the team, who did not seem to take offense to what Martin told them? What Incognito told Martin, treated Martin, showered him with, those racial epithets, calling him an ass and a half N-word.
Exactly.
I guess... I don't want to blame Martin. I don't want to blame the quote unquote victim, even though I'm not sure if he really is a victim or not. The more stories that come out about this guy, but are you as confused as hell as I am? Because I just can't put my finger on what's really going on here.
Now, see, I am extremely confused, probably more so than you. Of course, with the things that are said by players, not just his own teammates, but from other players as well, both current and former players. I've heard interviews from just about everyone about NFL hazing, the fraternity of the league, if you will, how players – we've seen it. We've been exposed to it thanks to just the 24-hour – television that we have with net news networks being at training camps, and then of course with HBO and the Hard Knocks being there for training camp as well. So we are exposed to a lot of things that happen in training camp, and a lot of times we actually see this hazing. And in my opinion, it doesn't seem that harsh, but from what is being said in terms of the whole racial thing, and I'll get to that in just a moment. The way that Martin has been treated by players on the Dolphins roster, as well as black players, the way that they were saying that Incognito is more black than Martin, and that's a whole nother story in itself. The way that, you know, and the way that Incognito has been getting this mixed reaction from both players and front office men alike, from those that say they like him. It was actually said by former Rams GM while Incognito was there in St. Louis that he's a good guy, but he just happened to be dealing with some serious issues. So they really had no idea of how to deal with him. You know, you can either get good Incognito or you can get bad Incognito, and it just happened to be that the franchise could not handle it anymore, and that's why they got rid of him. So you're hearing this entire swirl of everything that could have happened, that did happen. It's crazy. It really is crazy, and I'm waiting to hear what this investigation from the NFL representative has to say about this and how the league's going to handle it.
Right. The thing is like when I was like, he listened to a podcast, the First Take podcast, when everything first started happening, right before this shit really hit the fan. You know, Stephen A. Smith said that there were reports coming out of Miami at the time amongst the players that, for like from a source of his, that this could potentially, at the time, put what Riley Cooper did to shame as far as what really went on between those two cats. Mm-hmm. But speaks to another issue, you touched on it earlier, the fact that the black players, for the most part, are siding with Incognito. I mean, I think most black folks, and now damn near all black folks, have had those white friends of ours who were so close to that they could actually, believe it or not, in certain situations, get away with saying the N-word around us. I mean, I'm just gonna put it out there. I mean, I have friends, a few friends I grew up around who are like that. And I remember one incident in church. This is, of course, years ago when I was in high school. And he was also a teammate of mine on the basketball team. And I remember him sitting there with us. And there's a couple other white dudes, but mostly brothers, talking about another black dude from a rival basketball team that we all did not like, okay? And I remember him saying, and I quote, "Michael, he's just a nigger." And you know what we did? We did two things. We said, uh-huh, and we laughed our asses off. You know what I'm saying? This is a white dude. Like I said, he was one of the in crowd, you know, if you will. He was one of us. Because he hung out with us, we did a lot of things together, and a couple other white guys around us. But I don't know if this is a similar situation with Incognito. I don't know if it speaks to the fact that we consider a guy like Martin, who's educated at Stanford, both his parents are lawyers, you know, who did not grow up the way that quote unquote the normal black life, you know, if you will, be like the normal black person grows up, you know, and then that just goes to a whole nother different social commentary, you know, when it comes
really
to
does.
As it speaks to whether our own self-hatred as black people, perhaps, but, you know, it's just, that's the part that really got me, is that all these brothers coming out of support of Incognito said that Martin was at fault. I mean, the one of Martin just up and left the team. He's like a son of brother, and he really didn't do, in my eyes, anything wrong.
Very true. I just find this entire situation extremely, I mean, like I've been saying the whole time, it's weird, but I got to start by saying this statement here. I'm just a person, I guess I've matured to a point where I can't allow words, especially racial epithets, to bother me anymore. So, I mean, but I do understand the history of the uses of the word and how it does affect our race. With that being said, right, you also have to understand how hip-hop culture has taken over in this country, mm-hmm, over the past 20, 30 years, and being that, yep, the word has been used so loosely within the culture, and it's expanded outside of the black race, and they're fans of it within multiple cultures, if not every. It seems like everyone is using the word. It may not be in a malicious manner, but you know, it still can be taken as such, even if it's said by the wrong race. Once, right, again, with that being said, if someone of a black race feels comfortable with someone of another race, they won't think twice if their friend says it, knowing that they're not saying that out of hate. So you take the way that Incognito has been respected by his teammates, and yeah, sure, you can take the whole theory that, you know, Martin being a graduate of Stanford, he coming from a two-parent household, he may not be seen as being as black by other black players, which is totally ridiculous. And to get into, right, that entire notion is a whole nother show in itself of how blacks can see other blacks. But it's just sad that it took, or a guy of his educational stature can be looked down upon. Now, it's kind of odd that all of that is starting to come out now about him being a Stanford grad. I actually overheard someone question that yesterday before it started to spill out. And I thought to myself, you know what, it can't be because he's a Stanford grad, because I was starting to think about other black players that are in the league that are Stanford grads, and I thought about Doug Baldwin, but you really don't hear much about him. And then I thought about, right, another guy who could have been a Stanford grad, Robert Griffin III. And I was like, well, no one really talks about Robert Griffin III. And I thought a minute, yeah, they did, just last year when his blackness was questioned. Also,
yeah,
I thought about, you know, thought about, you know, Pep Hamilton. Pep Hamilton, yeah, coached over at Stanford. You really don't hear much about him, but he graduated from Howard. But I have my own personal thoughts that I jokingly say about African-Americans that attend private HBCUs. You know, I always poke around and jokingly say that, you know, blacks that,
right,
have attended private institutions like Howard, Hampton, and the like aren't black,
right,
enough themselves. You know, that's just me teasing them, because to question another man's blackness, regardless of what it is that they've gone through, is utterly ridiculous, especially just because he bettered himself by going to a great institution like Stanford. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not trying to say, well, what are you trying to say, that Incognito, I mean, Incognito didn't go to Morehouse. He didn't go to A&T or anything like that. He's not blacker because he went to a black school. He got tattoos, so that makes him blacker. He says the word nigger, so that makes him blacker. I mean, what is it that is being said by not only the players in the league, but by society as well, that this type, mm-hmm, of level or lack thereof of intelligence makes you blacker? That's just crazy.
Right. Well said, my brother. Well freaking said. I do have to ask this question. You sound like you're reading the article of Jason Whitlock's that he put out today on ESPN.com. He talked about the prison culture that's permeating the African-American community, and it's more than prevalent in the Miami Dolphins locker room. I mean, it's just interesting. I was reading that shortly before the podcast announced that. And he kept on throwing those things. I'm thinking, I was thinking to myself, am I talking to Jason Whitlock here?
I will say this. I did hear him. I didn't get a chance to read the article yet. I did hear him.
Okay.
And that was the basis of everything that he said. And I found something very interesting that he said. It made me pause for a minute, but I was like, okay, I guess so. Because, you know, a lot of times Jason Whitlock can be controversial. I'm not even going to say borderline. He can be controversial. And a lot of times he says things about race that I don't agree with. completely agree with. You know,
yeah.
So when he said
yeah.
that Martin is basically standing on the shoulders of Martin Luther King because he basically took the nonviolent approach, I was like, okay, you know what? I can agree with you on that. But it's
mm-hmm.
not just Jason Whitlock that feels that way. I mean, I've heard a lot of analysts today. I've heard Stephen A. Smith become extremely animate about his thoughts on the reflection of African Americans judging other African Americans on their blackness. And I mean, this is just something that I mean, we even talk about it throughout HBCUs. Like I said before, we genuinely say it, but there are a lot of people that also say it, being real about it. You know, it can be said about African Americans that have gone to state institutions to private institutions. It can be said about African Americans that are in this fraternity and sorority against another fraternity and sorority. You know, there are a lot of prejudice and preconceived notions about people who do certain things within our culture. Doesn't make it right.
Right.
But
doesn't make it right at all.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, when you get to this point here where you're hindering a man from doing his job, it just becomes an issue to me.
Right. And the thing is that for a man, a grown-ass man, how tall is my 6'5", 350? You know, a man like that to give up on a lifelong dream to play in the NFL because he didn't want to deal with this madness that's going on in the locker room, it just makes you wonder. You know what I mean? It just makes you wonder there are two schools of thought here. To your point, like when you said other people in the media mentioned and pretty much applauded Martin for taking a nonviolent approach, Len DeBattard was on Mike and Mike a few mornings ago defending Martin's approach, saying, you know, what's the point of Martin doing anything about it? Whereas Mike Golick, who played in the NFL, said, made it known that if that were him in that situation, he would have confronted Incognito. Damning the consequences be damned. But, the point that they were both trying to say was that, more or less Golick was saying, hey, Martin's not wrong in how he handled it, but he said there's a fine line where you should man up and not be bullied. That's what Entrell Rose said. That's what other players around the league are saying.
Yeah, Arakpo said the same thing. And matter of fact, to make it even more interesting, Jeff Ireland, the GM for the Dolphins, told Martin to punch him in his face. So I'm like, which way? I mean, I understand that he would have gained some respect by punching him in the face. And I mean, not only by people within the league, but I mean people outside of the league, just regular fans. And I'm like, you know what? Incognito overstepped his boundaries to a man that's 6'5", 300 pounds plus. He got punched in the face. So be it. Now he's going this route. He's still getting respect because of the fact that he's taking a nonviolent approach. But I'm still saying that this entire situation just seems extremely shaky because of the fact that you're getting teammates that are saying that. Matter of fact, did you hear what Ryan Tannehill said?
Yes, that they consider themselves brothers.
he was considered his best friend 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, okay. I mean, I understand that a lot of times family does things for you to make you upset, but it's still family. So I'm like, at what point in time, what is it? Is he someone who's his best friend who he's joking around with on the airplane? Or is he this guy who's just being a jerk with him that's extorting money out of him, calling him, giving him threats over the phone, and just being extremely rude and disrespectful to this dude? Which one is it? I don't think we'll ever truly find out the truth.
Hey, have you seen that movie 3 o'clock High?
You know what? I have not, but you know what? It just seems like something that I probably live.
You know I'm getting that right. You know I'm getting that right.
Oh, Beat 'Em Up After School,
yeah. Basically, for those who are not old enough to remember this movie or just don't know about it, basically it's like this bully, this jerk in the movie, like threatening to beat this nerd's ass. And this particular nerd, what I'm calling it, nerd, because he got the grits. But anyway, he tried his best to say, first of all, he tried to get out of this fight that was supposed to occur at 3 o'clock that day. And so he tried to get on the bully's good side by just trying to, you know, just kill him with kindness. And the bully just turned and said, look, dude, it doesn't matter what the hell you do. I'm still planning on whooping your ass at 3 o'clock on the playground. So that just made me think about that. It's like when reports come out that Martin laughed at the voicemail and played it in the locker room, considered his best friend, Miguel Carnino's best friend on the team, could it have been one of those situations where dude was trying to just try to be nice to avoid a conflict?
Great question. I never even thought about it from that perspective. But I mean, to that point, to the degree where you're being buddy-buddy with this dude, I don't know. I mean, you're right. That is a great
question. Maybe he's trying to fit in. You know, maybe he's trying his damnedest to fit into the culture and kept finding himself slipping.
You know what? Now, the thing is whether or not this investigator can look at it from that perspective. I think you need to go ahead and send him a copy of 3 o'clock high so he can go ahead and look at that and take that into consideration.
Right.
Because you just basically changed my entire outlook on this whole situation, that maybe Martin was just trying to be a friend to someone who was trying to be a jerk to him. But,
right.
I mean, at this certain point, I'm just like, you know, I don't know how far I can go to get a dude. No, because you know what? When I was in junior high school, I had a dude. He wasn't really bullying me, per se, but he was harassing me a lot. But it all stopped when I actually tried to fight this dude. I didn't win the fight, but I tried to fight this dude. and he thought that, you know, I was capable. Exactly. I gained his respect because I at least swung on him. I didn't connect, but I swung on him. And he's like, you know what? From here on out, I ain't going to mess with you no more. You proved to me. And I'm guessing, this is exactly what other players have said, that basically what they're trying to do is test and see how strong you are. Because when it comes, and I've always found it interesting about how NFL players use the term going to battle. It goes back to the whole Kellen Winslow thing at the University of Miami. I'm not even going to touch that right now. That was just one of my favorite sports quotes of all time. But, I mean, I understand when you're looking to see exactly how strong a guy is mentally and physically when you're going into tough situations with this guy. You could be facing situations where you're on a 3-game losing streak and you're trying to figure out exactly how strong mentally your teammate is. So you these guys beforehand as a rookie to see whether or not they can, how strong they are and whether or not they are able to withstand certain things. Now, how tough the hazing was, I mean, we've heard certain things. I mean, one of the things that I thought was just sad was the fact that he tried to sit down with the offensive lineman during a meal, and the entire O-line got up and left him.
Yep.
Really? Did you really bring that up? I mean, what are you? Are you 8? For real?
Yeah.
But, you know, he felt emotionally distraught about that. But that's not for me to judge. It's not for me to judge him for that. You know, if he felt bad about that, that's his feelings. You know, and I really shouldn't question that. I'm not teasing him about it, but I'll question him on that. You know, I can't question him on what makes him feel bad.
Right. I'm just saying, I pledge your oldest black collegiate fraternity and have some stuff done to me. I think, and this is just my feeling, again, I'm not judging them, I'm trying not to anyway, but the thing is that if dudes get nothing from the table when you go sit down It's the worst thing in the world. Then lucky him. Lucky him. And that's what really set him. That's why I'm thinking there had to be a whole lot of shit that we don't know about.
It has to be. Because you talk about that. Exactly. You know, we're talking about the table situation. We're talking about the phone call. Now, the $15,000 bothers me. Oh, yeah, if that really happened, then, yeah, I'm a little bothered by that. That's 15 G's, you know, regardless of how much the dude's earning. But, you know, like you said, you're a member of fraternity. You know, you've been in a situation where you've been, well, actually, no, actually by certain bylaws, you haven't been hazed. I've been, unfortunately, surrounded by people who are also in fraternities where I've stumbled upon things. But at the same time, it was a unity thing where these guys went through a process. They may not have liked the person who was doing things to them at the time, but they became brothers after it, and they grew to respect one another. I'm just trying to figure out what in the world did this dude. Those three things can't be the only thing. It can't be. And they're saying that Martin is gathering all of this evidence that he has, and Incognito is gaining all of this evidence that he has. I just want to.
Right.
It kind of sounds like not reality, but tabloid TV, where I want to just hear all of the insider stuff about all of the mess that just happened in that locker room, and it's going to make the Miami Dolphins look really bad. It really is because of what you said earlier that Incognito was considered a team leader, and it was pointing out, you know, you got a couple of other veteran guys that used to be there, and like Reggie Bush, who is no longer there. I don't know if I would consider Reggie Bush to be a leader, but that's another story in itself. But when you have another team leader in Pouncey, who hasn't even said anything yet,
he's
basically kept his mouth closed the entire time, and he's a team leader. Where is he? How come he hasn't said anything positive or negative?
That's he's black too. He's black too.
Exactly.
Another brother.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he's been holding his tongue the entire time, and I just find that to be very interesting as well. So, once this investigation is done, I'm expecting the Miami Dolphins to be on the bad end of this, on an image standpoint. I don't think anything horrible is going to happen to the team in terms of high fines or draft picks being taken away or people being forced to be fired or whatever. But as an image standpoint, I really think they're going to come out of this thing looking real dirty. And I just find it very interesting how the team itself is, you know, treating Incognito, how they're praising him, but they're suspending him. But they're throwing him under the bus. But they're standing behind him. I'm like, this whole thing is crazy. It's just crazy. It's a huge mess. Huge mess.
You know what I fear? And we kind of danced around this. And I've really, especially me, I've been danced around this. I think the people in this locker room think he's soft. I think people around the league, he being Martin, that is. I think that people around the league think Martin is soft. And I think there's a certain mentality, unspoken mentality in the NFL and locker rooms that you can't just be a snitch. You can't back down. You can't turn the other cheek. You got to man up. You know what I'm saying? You got to defend yourself. You got to take a stand, even if you don't get your ass beat. Still got to take a stand. And the fact that Martin not only did not take a stand, but he, in his way of doing it, he walked out on his teammates.
And he snitched. I mean, this isn't my thoughts. Those aren't my words. These are words from other players. Not only did he quit, he snitched. So, basically, this dude's career is done, maybe. I mean, if anybody's really willing to take a chance on this dude, bring him into your clubhouse, and potentially deal with the mess that is Jonathan Martin and how other players on the team are going to perceive him, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. It's a huge mess.
Yeah.
He's like a second-round pick. So
he was a second-round pick, but he's not a scrub.
He's not.
He's
not at all.
He's
so, you know, there are guys there are teams that are going to probably look at this guy, but at the same time think, what type of issue would it be bringing this guy to our team, and how will other players look at this guy? Will he be respected or will he won't be? I really believe it's going to be a slim chance. Matter of fact, I believe Incognito gets back into the league quicker than Martin does.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the team is going to bring Incognito in. I think Miami's doing a lot of window dressing right now because they know they're going to get fucked. They know that Stephen Ross, the team owner Stephen Ross, is going to start rolling, like chopping some heads, if you will. Just you know, heads are going to roll, possibly the head coaches, sooner rather than later. And his general manager. And keep in mind, it's the same general manager who wants questioned Dez Bryant of the draft process to say the Astros is your mama or hoe, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. But to make it even better, Deion Sanders said it best. I think this has been the best quote I've heard about the entire situation. This is the same organization that got rid of Ocho Cinco, that got rid of Chad Johnson, because they thought that he would be a lightning rod for attention.
Oh, Lord. How's that for irony?
How did that work out? I don't know, because I think I could go out there and be a better receiver than Ocho at this point. It's sad how his skills have diminished over the years. It really is. But, you know, I'm hoping he gets it right, but I don't think he'll ever be back into the league either. But, yeah, this – how do you ask a man, a grown man, he's very lucky – that Dez Bryant was in a situation where he was searching for a job. Had it been just a regular dude on the street and you ask him about his mother being a prostitute,
right?
Even if she was, I don't think that goes over too well.
I think it'd be a fight.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a fight. I think the tables would be overturned. I think furniture would be moved around a little bit.
A lot of slow singing and flower bringing. I'm telling you, God, how do you ask a man? But that's Jeff Ireland.
Yeah, again, that's the same dude that's been running the drives, running the better half of the organization. So I think, to your point, I think it's going to get very bad in Miami once everything comes out. Because, like I said, for Martin to just get up, to leave the team because his teammates left him when he went to sit down to eat with them, it has to be a lot more than that. It just has to be some more, a lot more. And the fact that a talented kid like Martin may not even get another shot with a team from this point because he's seen as a quitter and a quote-unquote snitch. I mean, I'm just being real about it. And, you know, that he did not man up. I mean, you see the reaction of the players around the league, and even more so in his own locker room.
True.
I mean, he's persona non grata in that locker room. He was the victim. So so the thing is, it's just too bad. It's just too bad. But I will say this. I wouldn't mind my Steelers take a chance on telling Martin, hell, we need all the offensive linemen that we can get right now, but that's a whole other issue. And a whole other podcast out real, my boys. But, hey, man, I appreciate you doing this on a short notice, my brother. I'll let you get back to watch your Redskins against the Vikings and now Oregon and Stanford as well.
Oh, yeah. I will be peeking in on that one. I want to see what type of implications this has. I have been an undercover Noles fan for a very long time, but I am taking a backseat to my Aggies. So that's just another story in itself. But, I will be peeking in on that game to see what type of implications that has on Florida State.
Right. And dude, I grew up, like, my mom's family originated in Tallahassee, Florida. So going down there to see my great-grandma as a kid, you could literally see Florida State's campus from the porch of our house. And my dad used to run around the track there when we were kids. We run with them, so I grew up a Florida State fan. So this is pretty much this pre in football that is. So this I pretty much have my eyes on tonight's game, and let's just say a prayer for the ACC that we get a little bit of love. But anyway, thanks a lot, and enjoy the game, man.
Thanks for having me. Will
do. You
got
it, man. Peace out.
All right.
That's my man, Dwayne Nash. That's a great conversation. Like I said, it's a hot-ass mess in Miami, and hopefully gets a bit of a resolution to this. And because I just know that things are going to get a lot worse in Miami. And I didn't really mention this to Dwayne, but the fact that they have a Monday night game against the winless Tampa Bay Bucks, and that just and don't be surprised if Miami becomes very distracted, at least at the beginning of the game. And I'll tell you what, if your boy if your boy seems like Philbin's team, the Dolphins lose to the Buccaneers, gives the Buccaneers the first win, I would be surprised if the coach is not fired as soon as he walks off the field. But anyway, that's another story for another day. But we'll just keep tuning in to find out. But once again, thanks a lot. I'm rambling now. I'm going to tune into the Oregon-Stanford game. This has been Scott Burks from the Clown Hour. I appreciate y'all listening to me. And once again, a nice, quick 06. We out of here. Night.